The Jack B Show, where pit smarts meet street smarts. Now, here's your host, Jack Berusian.
Hey, welcome, everybody. Happy Wednesday to you. Let's call this one November 21st, Thanksgiving Eve. How about that, folks? And as I've been telling you, do not sell this week short. As I said to you going into this week, the 3 days that precede Thanksgiving are historically very strong days for equities, which, as you recall, are followed by the end of the redemption selling time. Well, basically any orders that come in for redemptions for hedge funds. So all of that barely coincides with what I think it turns into, what I call the Santa Claus effect. And, you know, everybody seems to be misguided by what it really is. In essence, it's just a question or a combination of fund managers playing catch up, those that have got to be chasing returns, and those that have actually raised too much cash. Can't go into the end of the year with that much cash on hand. But here to talk about that and a few other things and just about everything is a good old friend, Jeff Carter. He's a former member of the board of directors. He was my former colleague when we sat on the board together. He's a wonderful trader. You know, I guess it all depends on the day I catch him on when you know, I say that.
That's true.
And a prolific blogger, Points and Figures, one of the better blogs. You know, I asked you earlier what the name of your blog was, but yet I read it at least two or three times a week only because I get it on my Facebook. I don't pay attention to the name. I just look at what you're writing. But Jeff, it's always a pleasure to see you. Glad to have you on.
Yeah, this is great. I love your show.
Well, so. And by the way, a point of programming interest, Jeff also did the market update segment with us at the CME. I know a lot of you that listen actually watched that, so you could see Jeff's I was standing on a box. Jeff is significantly taller than me. But
when Jack stands on his wallet, he's bigger.
Yeah, there you go. You know what? Don't tell my wife that. So let's start with the election, Jeff, all right?
Right.
I mean, because I know you're very political in your blog.
Sometimes we are.
And then let's kind of move the gamut around to talk markets and talk stocks and maybe Fed policy and then work our way into specific commodities that you trade. But let's talk election. I'm going to assume that this the result of this election was a surprise to you.
It was. It was funny. As I said to you, you know, we've talked about this a long time. Since 2008, I would really rather trade a market than the committee room in Washington. And I think we're going to continue to trade committee rooms in Washington and Europe because of this election.
Well,
I think Romney would have been a little better.
You said something like that on TV with Rick Santelli.
Yeah.
I think you were during an interview, if I recall. You were saying, you were alluding to something to that effect.
Yeah.
But go on. Explain that a little bit more.
Well, I just think that, you know, I don't particularly care for either party. I'm more Republican than I am Democrat, for sure. But I'm all about, I think the founders of the country, when they wrote the Constitution, they wrote it to protect individuals from government infringing upon their rights. And I think the Democrats under Obama, with Dodd-Frank, certainly in the financial industry and with Obamacare, are really impinging your economic liberty. And that goes back to your individual liberty, which means you're going to be in a community room trying to hash out what goes on. You know?
That's you know what? That makes sense to me. In fact, you know, one of the things that I said after the election was that, look, you know, this Republican Party has got to find its place again.
Well, yeah, sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I agree. The days of the far right hijacking this party are over.
Well, you know,
I mean,
we lost by what, 300,000 or 400,000 votes?
No,
let's break it down.
We lost a huge percentage of the Hispanic vote.
Right.
All right.
Because
of an immigration policy. But we're talking about a growing sector. Yep. We cannot ignore them as Republicans, number one. Number two, they are, in my mind, natural conservatives.
Agree.
These are the most conservative people in the world.
Well, they have conservative. They're very hardworking people.
Absolutely.
You know.
You hit the nail on the head, Jeff. These are fiscal conservatives.
Yes.
They really are. And I guess the reality is that what is it that the Republican Party is doing wrong that seems to be chasing them away, chasing Asian Americans away?
I agree.
All right? Chasing Armenian Americans away.
I agree.
I voted for Mitt Romney, yet a big percentage of the people that, you know, that are my ethnic group did not.
Sure. I mean, so how many emails? You get a gazillion emails a day. Mm-hmm. How many emails do you get that say, dial one for English, that's stupid, blah, blah, blah. We should build a border fence, blah, blah. For me, I mean, the Republicans should be the pro-immigration party because we need immigration to fill out all these STEM jobs that are that are out there right now. If somebody comes here from China or India, and I deal with them all the time, and they get their PhD in something, we're forcing them out of the country.
We do that now.
Yeah. Yeah. We want to keep those people here.
Yeah, we have a gentleman from China sitting in the next room right here, and that's exactly the problem that we're facing with. Here's a guy who came in, got his master's at the University of Chicago.
Right.
And he's trying to figure out how to stay in the country.
Yeah.
And you know,
he's expending all this energy to stay here.
It's amazing.
When he could be a productive citizen, and there's network effects by having those people here. Because, like, you know, okay, so you're an Armenian guy. Your family came here. Did they lose contact with the people in the old country?
No, not at
absolutely
all.
Not.
On the other hand, though, my father, and he was the first one, my late father would say this, waited 7 years. All right, so did my mother's family on a list. And then when they were allowed to come here, when their number came up, they had to sign a piece of paper saying that they left everything and all their possessions back in what was Palestine at the time as refugees. So, look, with my folks, and it's a little different with me, Jeff. Remember, my folks were, and my grandparents were displaced people.
Right,
so,
you bet.
Yeah, they didn't come here with a country behind them. But going back to it, I think here's the real question. What does the Republican Party need to do in order for them to be able to find a way to be able to expand their base?
Control the conversation better. So we had two bad candidates that just blew the abortion question. You got to be ready for that. And I think the Republicans...
Why is there even an abortion question?
You're not going to get an argument out of me about that.
I've got
the genie's out of the bottle.
The bottom line is this. I've got some of the most diehard pro-lifers that are Roman Catholics that would never dream of voting Republican. Never dream of voting for a Mitt Romney.
It goes back to individual rights. And so we have to, I think the party has to figure out a compromise around that. And I think the good compromise is we don't want federal dollars for it. As long as you're paying for it, who cares? You're making your own individual choice, which I don't agree with, but people make individual choices all the time that I don't agree with. I mean, there's a woman in front of, she posted a picture on her Facebook where she gave the finger and was screaming at the unknown soldier at the tomb. I mean, I think there's nothing probably more offensive than that. Yet she has the freedom of speech to be able to do that. I don't particularly agree with it.
Well, you know, look, the freedom of speech is what it is. We all know that, and we've all been taught this, you know, yes, we have the freedom of speech, but we don't have the freedom to yell fire in a crowded theater.
Right. You got responsibility. You
know, absolutely. Right. You know, I mean, do I like the fact that this guy, whether it was the reason or not Benghazi happened, and we all know it wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, he had every right in the world to put that up, but that was inflammatory.
Going back to that, though, what I think you have to do is change the economic choices around all these issues, and they'll go away.
Well, but see, now you're getting to the heart of it, all right, which is really the economics of what we're talking about. And let's get right into it because we're dealing with, you know, the fiscal cliff issues and all the rest of it.
Sure.
You know, the bottom line is this, that we have got a mentality in D.C. right now that thinks that government creates wealth.
Yes. You're exactly right, and it doesn't.
And until we can get away from that and find out how to be able to free up seed capital so that, you know, we don't make unproductive investments. And here, you know, you're a venture capital guy. I mean, you make investments looking to grow things. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But you know, here, what is the biggest obstacle that you face as somebody who's trying to look at startups? I mean,
well, startups are a different breed. I think where you and I are sort of talking about is that article in the Wall Street Journal the other day where 40% of the companies aren't going to expand their operations in the U.S. They're going to keep cash on the balance sheet. That's the sign that there's something wrong, because if there was, and you can talk about Europe's contraction, that's what they'll blame it on, or the Chinese implosion, or this or that. But really what it comes down to is overregulation. So they can't expand. And that's government coming in and saying, you can't do this. So we're in the EPA's case.
Well, case in point, the EPA with
coal.
Keystone and with
coal.
Oh, with the Virginia drilling, offshore drilling.
Right.
You've got the NLRB with what they did in North Carolina.
No question.
I mean, the Department of Justice. I mean, look, I can reel them off.
Yeah.
All of them are acting as if they are the president's henchmen, which leads to my next question.
Sure.
Do you think that the president has finally stopped running for office and pandering to his constituency, and now can we finally get to the point where he's going to worry about his legacy and creating real growth and opportunity?
Are you from Chicago?
Absolutely.
Well,
you know that.
Yeah. Then you know the answer to that question.
Well, okay.
He doesn't care about his legacy. He's going to pander to the people that got him there.
Well, you know what? I would see the difference is he's Harvard educated. All right. But I guess the real question is this. You know what? You're getting the hints of compromise. I mean, you know, we're seeing it.
I think that's only because the fiscal cliff dooms both parties.
Yeah.
It doesn't look good
for either
side.
Well, it's political suicide, let's face it. I mean,
so they got to sort something out.
Well, you know what? You and I know what they're going to do. They're going to kick that can down the proverbial road because everybody knows it is poison.
Yes.
All right? It is absolute poison to touch.
Well, how do you think they're going to resolve it?
Well, I've got a feeling that they're going to make an extension, all right, is what they'll do of the tax credit and the Bush extensions. And what they'll do is they'll take it out another year and they'll leave it for another year or two.
You think so?
Yeah, I do. I think they're not going to be able to solve anything within the next couple of weeks.
So you don't think capital gains is going to go up for people that make over $250,000 a year?
I think that either way, taxes are going to go up for people making over $250,000 a year. Worse yet, we could live out in California where we got Moonbeam Brown, who raised them 12% over $500,000.
Oh my God.
I've got people that called me up and they said, you've got to help me. Do you know a good lawyer? Which, by the way, are the busiest people these days. Have you noticed that the estate tax lawyers are the busiest people
I have a friend, Jack, that he essentially takes companies out of the U.S. and repatriates them in other countries.
I'll bet his business is booming.
Off the hook.
Well, you know, the reality is that those that do business offshore don't want the money to come here. This used to be a place where it was a safe haven. The only safe haven right now for capital in the United States is in 10-year and 30-year bonds, which are used like a mattress,
you know,
as a government-sponsored
it's
mattress.
It's an interesting thing. So, as you know, Jack and I have known each other, you know, many, many years, and now I've got a thing called West Loop Ventures, westloopventures.com. But we've been going around and talking to people about their capital. And the more we talk to high net worth individuals and family offices, they're pulling their capital off of Wall Street and they're trying to do private investments. So they're pulling them out of the Goldman wealth management system, out of the Morgan Stanley wealth management system, bringing it closer to home and pulling the trigger themselves.
Well, you and I know that that's been a long time coming because, quite frankly, everybody that works for those firms only pushes certain investments.
Well, sure.
Because that's all they can push.
Right, exactly.
You know? But
exactly.
It's interesting.
I mean, you know, so it's very interesting that, you know, they're looking to go with smaller people like yourself that they can trust, you know, and they're looking to have some impact on what they're putting money into.
You know what? I want to, Jeff, finish this segment here just with politics, and then I want to go talk Fed after the commercials.
Yeah.
But I want to talk specifically, I guess this is the question. I was a big Mark Rubio fan until I read his creationist quote yesterday. And I got to tell you, you know, all of a sudden I left myself, you know, thinking, okay, wait a second. Who is the leader of the Republican Party? Who's the next leader? Is it Christie? Who is it?
Nah.
Because I got to tell you, you know what? I have a hard time as a Republican, as a human being right now, you know what? Voting for somebody who's telling me that the earth is only 7,000 years old. And I'm a Christian.
Yeah.
You know what? I believe.
Yeah, I know,
so, I mean,
know.
I got to tell you, I have a problem with that.
I think I saw a quote, though, that Obama in 08 made, which was exactly like the Rubio quote. I don't think the quote was a creationist quote. I just think he says the jury's out. Who knows? Leaders in the Republican Party, I think Rubio's going to be one of them. I don't think Christie's going to be one of them in the short term. He kind of disgraced himself in this Sandy thing. I think it's going to be people like Scott Walker, Paul Ryan, Rand Paul.
Who, by the way, was on the show. We had Rand.
Oh, did you?
Yes,
I like Rand Paul a lot.
He's very good.
Yeah.
And you know what? We all like his father, too, by the way.
I mean, I think that, you know, it's going to be that breed. There's a good bench, Bobby Jindal. There's a good bench of Republican governors
Bobby
out there.
Bobby Jindal is a crossover candidate.
Yeah.
He's one of those. In fact, the question I had was the same one that I had of Ryan, was, you know, whether they had enough experience and were they mature enough. But you know what? They asked those same questions about, you know, our fellow Chicagoan, you know, a few years back. Who, by the way, came out of nowhere. People don't realize, you know who he's probably got to thank more than anybody?
Bill Ayers.
Aside from Bill Ayers, who, by the way, for those of you that don't know, he actually launched his campaign in Bill Ayers' living room. All right, I think his Bill Ayers kids were his kids' babysitters.
I believe they're pretty close.
Yeah, they're very close. No, but I was going to say it was Alan Keyes.
Yeah, Alan Keyes.
Because Keyes ran against him, came in as a carpetbagger, basically candidate, ran against
him. And Jack Ryan had the divorce.
And that's right. And because of that, it propelled Obama into the spotlight. And it was just amazing.
But, you know, I mean, there's lots of people that have not had experience that have done very well. I mean, I'm not sure experience is a great.
I guess Jimmy Carter is one. And, you know.
I mean, Reagan was a one or two term governor in California?
But Reagan had ideas.
Yes, he did.
And he had the smart people around him.
Right.
But more importantly, he had the foresight to free up seed capital.
Well, I think it goes back to the point is I think a lot of the worst presidents are the ones that meddle the most. They're very, very domineering. They got to get involved in everything. And Reagan didn't do that. He was a big idea guy, and he let everybody else solve the problem.
I like that. You know what? That's where you delegate the right way.
You bet.
All right. Let's take a few minutes here. And then when we come back, I want to talk with Jeff a little bit about what's going on with the Fed. I got QE Infinity at my fingertips. And there's a guy who knows interest rates like the back of his hand. And then let's talk a few commodities. And if we're lucky, I think Alan Rohrbach was walking around. We'll get him in for a little bit of what's next week.
The Jack B Show will return after a few words from our sponsors.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000, please write down this phone number. It's time to deal with your IRS problems today. Call Certified Tax now for help in all 50 states. Certified Tax's tax attorneys and experts will contact the IRS on your behalf the same day that you become a client. Isn't it time to face your IRS problems? Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-570-5115. That's 1-800-570-5115. Again, 800-570-5115.
Hello, listeners. It's Sarah Ritz here. You might know me as Little Miss Market on The Jack B Show. Don't forget, Capstone Financial School is currently offering a special rate for any consumer education, personal finance, or investing course to our listeners. If you are concerned about your financial future and need help, our 10-hour course will show you how to get the best rates, including credit scores, credit cards, auto loans, student loans, cell phone plans, renting versus buying, and record keeping to investing with low risk, high probability. The school offers a one-on-one consultation. Before entering a class, we will find out what your needs are and how to apply that information to your education experience. Our school admission counselors are available for questions regarding availability, and special rates are being offered. Also, don't forget about our Give a Free Class to a Vet program. For further details, visit our website at www.capstonefinancialschool.com or call 855-411-3232.
When it comes to trading and investing, education is the key to success. But with so many trading schools out there, how do you know which one is right for you? Hi, I'm Greg Hadley, president of Bull & Bear Institute. Bull & Bear Institute was designed by traders for traders. We give you the comprehensive education you need to trade successfully with confidence. Our classes are taught by professional traders with over 100 years of combined experience in the capital markets. Get results. We teach you how to identify price movements and take advantage of it using futures, options, stocks, and ETFs. Develop the knowledge, patience, and discipline it takes to spot the right time to act. Call 855-Y-TRADE or go to bullandbearinstitute.com to sign up for a free subscription to our exclusive newsletter. Flexible day and evening classes are always available. Call 855-Y-TRADE. That's 855-949-8723 or go to bullandbearinstitute.com.
And now back to the Jack B Show.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. And we are having the late Irv Kupson would call the lively art of conversation with Jeff Carter. And
there's
Jeff,
going back.
You know what? How about that, huh?
Yeah.
And you want to go to the other one? You're more than welcome.
I don't care, sure.
Yeah, go to the other one.
That work for you?
That works for me. Okay. That way we can get Alan in here next segment and he'll be able to talk. But I want to talk a little bit about the Fed. I want to talk some interest rates with you. You know, you spent a great deal of time over in that Eurodollar pit.
Yeah.
So you watched the short end of the curve, better than anybody I know. Give me your take on what's going on. I mean, I got QE Infinity at my fingertips here.
Yes, you do.
And I've got to tell you, I am more confused by the action in the 10-year than anything else.
Wow, what a roller coaster.
I don't get it.
I don't either.
I mean, what do you see? Do you make, what can you make of it?
I can't make anything of it. I just think it rolls with the punches, just like all these other markets. It's very difficult to discern what's going on.
Is that indicative of most interest rate traders?
Yeah,
I mean, are they? Because I feel
I don't think they have a good handle
on
anything.
Nobody seems to have a clue. When I say nobody has a clue, I don't mean that to be.
Yeah.
You know,
no. It's just it's here. But you know what's interesting about the 10-year over the last, let's say, last year, it always makes like higher highs.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, can it go through 2%? Well, yeah, it went through 2%. And
well, I mean, every time you think it can't go any higher, it just keeps going higher.
You know,
I mean, and it's so funny because I got to the point, and Alan Rohrbach will join us here in a little bit, was here, and I said, I'm throwing up my hands. I am not going to try to short that market anymore.
How much money has been lost buying puts?
How much money have I lost
buying
puts,
puts
and being short that market?
Right.
Yet I know deep down in my heart, all right, that that is the right trade.
Well, it feels like it, but, you know, then you go look at Japan, and they've been on QE Infinity for 20 years. How much money's been lost being short the JGB, let's say?
Yeah, that's true.
And but it feels like there it might be coming to a head. I don't know. That might be the play is to buy puts in the JGB and see the house of cards fall over there, which could transfer over.
What other markets are you looking at now? Where do you spend most of your time trading?
I'm looking at the commodity markets. I think with QE forever, the cheapening of the dollar, they're printing money like crazy with the fiscal way it is. Brian Westbury's a great economist.
I love Brian Westbury.
And Brian Westbury said,
I have a picture with Brian Westbury. I'm gonna send it.
Small cap stocks and commodities.
Well, I think he's right on both ends because, quite frankly, small cap stocks for me are the, if you think about it, the supply chain of the big boys.
Right.
And all of this, and I mean, you, Jeff, I don't know what your feeling is on inflation, but a lot of this is, quite frankly, because of the debasement of the currency and the fact that you have got, you know, I mean, you know, they are tearing down the trees in Grand Park to be able to print up dollar bills. You know what I mean?
So I think it's interesting to me. I would... Based on sort of the University of Chicago, whatever, you'd expect inflation by now. But money's not turning over. It's sitting.
It's sitting. And based on the University of Chicago, and by the way, only because I know you went there for grad school.
Sure.
And I bring up Merton Miller. And
I
Milton
love Merton, yeah.
Well, the late Merton, I got to tell you, we became very close
he
for
was
a while.
A great
because
man.
He wrote, you know, he would write me letters and every
he was
now
great.
And then. And we fought the Rule 88 together, which was always great. But you know, he would always tell me, you know, I remember, and I always love telling the story about how I sat there because it was either Paul Simon or somebody else asked me about what I thought about the markets.
Right.
And I said, you know, for the next 15 minutes, I gave him support here, resistance here.
Right.
Here's what I think. And I looked at the senator and Paul Simon said, very good, Jack. And I looked over at Merton Miller and he went, rubbish, my boy. You're rubbish. It was a random walk there.
Burton Malkiel and Gene Fama, they were right.
But anyway,
we're going to have inflation.
Yeah.
So John Cochran, I saw John Cochran's an economist. He writes a blog called The Grumpy Economist. He's an economist at U of C. Happens to be married to Gene Fama's daughter. He said in 2008, they were talking about the financial crisis. Actually, it was 2009. And he got in a big fight with Charlie Evans, who's the head of the Chicago Fed.
Right.
And so he said, look it, you're going to print all this debt and you're going to print all this money and governments make a choice, grow or inflate.
Absolutely.
And there's only the easiest thing to do is inflate. Growth is tough because you got to build businesses. You got to create GDP. So we will have inflation. The question is,
When?
And I don't, I mean, you and I both remember when you had short-term rates at 20%. I don't think we're going there.
No, but history has taught
but
us. Look,
we might go to 6.
You know, here, I learned from history. You've learned from history.
Yeah.
You know, in 1932, soybeans were 44 cents a bushel.
Right.
In 1952, they were $4.50 a bushel.
Yeah.
Corn went from 20 cents a bushel to $2 a bushel. It took 10 times the amount of U.S. currency to buy the exact same amount of grains.
Right.
So, I mean, we see what's happening. And I agree with you 100%. And that's one of the reasons that I am so frightened that people out of the market in cash are going to lose purchasing power parity.
Totally have the last 4 years.
I mean, look, gold has doubled in the last 4 years. You know, it's funny because they asked me what one of my predictions was.
Yeah.
I was on Asian Squawk Box the other day. And they said, Jack, give us a prediction for the, you know, for the
next
4 years.
Yeah, I'm interested where your gold prediction is.
My gold prediction was to double.
You think it's going to 3,200?
Yes.
Wow.
Because I thought it would double 4 years ago.
Really?
And it doubled 4 years ago. I see. And this whole claiming that the super cycle is over for commodities.
Right.
In the words of Merton Miller, rubbish, my
rubbish.
Boy. Okay? Because when you have a Fed that is printing up this kind of money.
You might be right.
That is the ancillary effect.
So we have a sort of a land bubble in farmland now.
Right.
Of course. If I'm a true University of Chicago guy, I say there is no such thing as bubbles. But, you know, prices are pretty high. And
well, not only land, not only farmland. Can I tell you where else the land is going crazy? You go only because I've been doing my research. I'm trying to buy land in the middle of nowhere in Michigan. You know why? Because it's sitting on one of the largest oil shale deposits in the country.
Interesting.
And you can't find things there for less than $2,000 an acre. This was an area that, by the way, before Bakken.
Gets a lot of snow.
Before Bakken even was a household name.
Right.
All right. Had land going for $200 to $400 an acre. Now, because you have got the entire state of Michigan sitting on one big, large, you know, basin.
Right.
All right. You have got these land prices that are escalating.
Well,
and along with better farm prices.
So there you go. I mean, that's all publicly held information gets priced into the market right away. And that's what you're seeing. I think the one thing I haven't seen is the leverage statistics on farmland. It'd be interesting to see how much of it is levered up and how much. Can the cash flows support that leverage? Because if that goes boom, then the price of the farmland's going to come.
So hey, here, you know what? Before we end this segment, you know, let me ask you a straight, right out question.
Okay.
When will the Fed tighten, or better yet, what will be the keys in your mind as a former interest rate trader, or as a interest? I mean, you still trade them. They're just not moving.
Right.
That's why.
Yeah,
you're not
don't trade.
Yeah. You know, but what will be the key that will end up turning that market and getting the Fed to start tightening?
I'd say sustained GDP of over 2.5%.
Which is not, you know, impossible. I mean, that's something that
it's
could
not
be
impossible.
I mean, they could start doing that within a year.
Yeah, you could have GDP over 2.5% with unemployment over 6-7% because of the inefficiency of business.
But isn't unemployment though the real driving factor right now? I mean, when the Fed is making their decision, when Ben Bernanke is talking, and I'm reading these
only
minutes,
because that you know the Fed is charged with. The dual mandate, and
right.
unemployment's one of them. So that's why they take it into consideration. But, you know, if GDP starts going and money starts turning over through the economy, this huge money supply we have, we're going to have inflation. And some would argue we have it, you know, now. And if you add back grain and
gasoline. Well, you know, it's funny.
And
you and I know Rick Santelli very well. And Rick is the first one to tell you, you know, if you don't think you have inflation, you know, go fill up your gas tank.
Yeah, exactly.
Go to the grocery store because
right.
you and I know. And for me, you know what? I feel it when I've got college tuition. And guess what? Tuition never goes down.
Never goes down.
How
it's
about
like
that?
Taxes.
Well, you got one. You still got one in school, don't
one,
you?
I have a senior who I get a raise at the end of this year because she graduates.
It's like getting somebody off the payroll.
That's right.
You know what? I love it.
That's right. And hopefully she becomes a productive member of society. She's going to go work for a startup, she says. And then another one I have is a sophomore. But she goes to school in the South, and Southern schools have not been as affected by the tuition increases as the Northeast and Northern schools have.
Well, you know what? They also get better weather down there.
Yeah, prettier girls. They redshirt Miss America.
There you go. All right, let's take a few minutes and then come back and then get a three-way conversation in here with Alan Rohrbach. This is The Jack B. Show. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
The Jack B. Show will return after a few words from our sponsors.
Are you working harder than ever at your job, but find yourself getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our free information, you can lead a happier life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was a traditional business owner, and our business was affected greatly by the economy, so we were looking for another income stream. It allowed me to actually walk away from a 16-year career and part owner in a traditional business just after 8 months.
Go to freedom27.com, get out of the rat race, work from home, and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I'm a single mom. Before this business, I was over $90,000 in credit card debt alone. And now we go to Disneyland, Disney World. We've been on vacations to Hawaii. I never could have done that before this business.
Go to freedom27.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 27.com. freedom27.com, and start earning great money as soon as next week.
Hey, folks, Jack Barugin here, host of the Jack B Show. One of the questions that people ask most often is, how do you learn about the markets? Well, the people at the Bull and Bear Institute have probably one of the best course curriculums that I have ever come across to teach people about the capital markets. With over 100 years of combined experience, their staff brings a wealth of information to each and every Bull and Bear Institute course. So whether you're trading futures, options, stocks, ETFs, whether you're thinking about trading them, whether you have your money with a registered investment advisor, I would highly recommend that you go out there and learn exactly what is going on. These are classes that are both live and online, AM and PM. So do yourself a favor, folks. Contact these people and understand what is going on in your financial world. Again, the Bull and Bear Institute, 855-Y-TRADE. That's 855-Y-TRADE, 855-949-8723.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000, please write down this phone number. It's time to deal with your IRS problems today. Call Certified Tax now for help in all 50 states. Certified Tax's tax attorneys and experts will contact the IRS on your behalf the same day that you become a client. Isn't it time to face your IRS problems? Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-570-5115. That's 1-800-570-5115. Again, 800-570-5115.
And now back to the Jack B Show.
And welcome back, everybody, on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving for the Jack B Show. And you know what? We got a special treat for you. I used Irv Kupcinet's Lively Art of Conversation line, Alan, just a little while ago. And with the three of us together, it really is the Lively Art of Conversation.
Sure,
we got Alan Rohrbach, of course, the founder of Rohr International, and another prolific blogger and writer, along with Jeff Carter, who is a great friend and an old colleague from the board of directors, an excellent trader, and another prolific blogger himself.
Yeah.
But Alan, great to have you joining in.
Great being here, Jack, as always.
You know what? You are one that looks obviously at a calendar. You've been paying attention to what's going on here. And I wanted you to come and spend a segment with us, and I'm glad you did, just so you can kind of give us a quick overview of what's coming out, where the market's at right now, because you're spot on these days with these things.
Well, thanks for that, Jack. And yes, the byline of both my weekly calendar and my summary perspective, macro technical, fundamental and technical together, is chance favors the prepared mind. And of course, that is from Louis Pasteur, and he was no dummy. I don't know how much he traded, but he knew what he was talking about. And we mentioned last
week. Heck of a
week,
chemist, if I remember correctly.
Well, heck of a biochemist, actually, yeah. And help prevent, you know, help clear up some various things people have now with that antibiotic stuff, you know?
Hey, real quick question. What's going on with Greece? I really wanted to ask you that because,
That's scary.
Yeah. Give me your take on that.
Well, it's the classic thing, Jack. We've discussed this a lot with due apologies to Irving Stone, the author of the book. It's the agony and the ecstasy in Europe. Every time you turn around, it's like, oh, well, we've got it solved. Oh, the details, well, that's different. You know, let's not get carried away, and we're actually working out details. We're down to some very fine line details where Greek lenders, first last week and then spilling over into this week, said, we're going to get them the money for that next bond rollover, and now they're saying, oh, we couldn't quite finalize it. So that's hanging over the market. But what's very interesting is how that broader credit market issue plays into this, something we made sure everyone knew last week when I was on the show. Tomorrow, folks, we not only thank the Indians for their help when the Pilgrims got here, but tomorrow's engine territory. Yeah. We have Chinese and European advanced purchasing managers indications out tomorrow while
People forget that, you know what, the rest of the world doesn't celebrate Thanksgiving. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, the Canadians do, but they celebrate it on a different day.
That's because they refuse to.
So go through it again. We've got Chinese. Go through the plethora of information.
I mean, there isn't that much more data the rest of this week. There were two things that happened this week that really helped the equity market go up and put some pressure on the bonds. And one of those things is that the U.S. politicians, they may not be good at getting together on things, but they're a quick study. And I think they looked at what the Europeans did over the summer. And on Friday, they came out of that meeting with Obama and said, we're all interested in getting something done, so we're going to try and get together. And they left town.
Yeah.
Wow. It was like Europe. It could have been Europe in August.
Alan, do you think that Lucy's going to pull the football away again in Europe?
I think that, yes, Lucy is going to pull the
football
away.
That's a great analogy, by the way. I think that's excellent.
Yes, she is. But the bigger question is not whether it happens right away with Greece. They're going to find a way to get Greece the money because they don't want the immediate impact of the ECB having to write down bonds. Don't forget,
right,
there are very few public investors anymore in those
that's
Greek
true.
Bonds. The
yeah,
ECB
right.
is going to have to take the hit, and they don't want to. They're going to get at the money. The
Either
bigger,
directly or indirectly.
The
is
bigger
really
question is, what do they do about the similar situation in Spain where every time they say they're going to do something, again, the agony and the ecstasy.
Yeah.
Only here in this case, it's backward. The ecstasy comes first, and then the agony of them not working it out follows in. And what we have is everyone saying, well, we're going to get Spain done. Spanish yields drop. The Spanish goes, hey, our yields are down. What me worry? Why
right.
ask for a bailout? And then as they're not asking for the bailout to get the broader funding lined up, their yields start creeping up. Jeff,
what,
you've seen
what
this.
What a tragic story in Spain. 50% unemployment among teenagers.
Yeah.
It's tragic.
Well, you know
that's
what?
A tragedy.
Unfortunately, you know what? We're starting to get to those kinds of levels in certain parts of this country
yeah,
right
certain,
here.
Certain stratified groups
you know,
are stratifying
and
right
and
now.
That is, I guess, a direct
scary.
Consequence of a lack of pro-growth policies. But
to get back to the calendar for the week, Jack, then on Friday, very interestingly, about the only real telling news is the German IFO. But here again, it's Europe-centric. We don't have any
right.
data Friday. And also, tomorrow evening, so spilling over into Friday,
mm-hmm.
after we would be closed anyway tomorrow, they start the next major cyclical round of European Union budget talks. This is for 2014 through 2020. And, of course, all the states that receive aid want to see the budget go up 5%. And everybody who's funding it, like Germany and the Nordic countries, they don't want any increase.
Right.
So you have a lot of acrimony in Europe that could start late this week. But more importantly, the political cycle in the U.S., it was so predictable after the election. What do we say? Worst case scenario with a weak president and a divided Congress. It drove the market down.
Well, here, now that you're talking markets,
yeah.
let's talk technicals here.
Right.
You know, I've got, you know, because we've got a lot of people. You were right on with your call, by the way, when you said 1387.
Once
you
broke,
said you would see the acceleration to the downside. Right on with that. Where are we now? Is now the burden of proof on the bulls to get it back up or explain it to me. Where do you see it?
To put it in simplest terms, that'll be relevant for the next couple of weeks, I think. And Jeff, I know you look
yeah.
at a lot of technicals as well. I'd like to know what you think about this. We've ratcheted down on the post-election market from what was a 1400 to 1460 range
mm-hmm.
in the S&P future. And once you really clearly broke 1400, that's going to be resistance. But there's big support between 1350, and you notice they washed out below it and came back anywhere to 1320.
Mm-hmm.
So you're really a 1400 to mid-13s market, and
right.
the psychology of the trading flow, again, the ecstasy, everything looks like they're going to get it together in the U.S. Don't think for 1 minute that Boehner and Reed are coming in on Monday and saying, okay, let's go make an agreement.
Right.
Everybody knows they've got a little time, late November to early December, to still seem to
right.
satisfy their base and get back to expressing their core views. That's going to create stress in the market in the next week. So we're probably in for another sell-off. But you asked me about technicals, yes. 1,400 to slightly above it is now the resistance. If they start getting above there, you could be good again.
So a sustained trade over 1,400 for a while would probably
right.
trigger, in your mind, to move back
again.
To the
again. They'll
upside.
Go to 1,450. Below 1,320 is where you look out for. You've got a disaster on your hands.
Mm-hmm.
Something went seriously wrong with the fiscal cliff negotiation that Bernanke, even the Fed, is saying, if it happens,
nothing we can do.
Don't look at
yeah.
us, fellas. We can't solve that kind of short-term negativity.
Right. How about copper? I know you still watch copper. You know what? Only because you've been watching that for a while.
Well,
are you still bullish?
I'm still friendly for now. You know, the funny thing about copper that speaks well of your view, Jack, that this whole thing is going to work out, is that across time, when we were looking at it over the summer, it was down around 1330. The lower support was down around 330. The lower support was down around 310. Well, it's months later. The support's getting up to about 13, 3:30 or so. So it's kind of like,
well, I saw copper
is troubled by the equities coming down, but it's not going to do much
worse. And I know copper is the preferred metal of choice for high tech, and when we see growth, and the engine of growth,
and
by the way,
and home construction,
and when we see that engine start to pick up again, especially out in China, which, by the way, I am on record as saying have now had their soft landing, watch out for copper prices, because you can see those things start to turn up. Alan Rohrbach, folks. Alan, always a pleasure having you on, my friend.
Great being here, Jack.
And again, you know what? You can always get him at Rohr. Is it hyphen?
R-O-H-R hyphen blog.
I love it.
Put it into a search engine. You don't want to know the full URL.
All right, we're going to take a few minutes. Don't go away. We're going to wrap it up here with Jeff Carter.
The Jack B Show will return after a few words from our sponsors.
Attention business owners and individuals who owe the IRS. Do you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes? You need aggressive representation. Call Certified Tax now and speak to one of our tax attorneys, enrolled agents, or tax professionals who specialize in tax liens, back taxes, tax debt, wage garnishment, and collections. We won't waste your time. Instead, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. And you can become a client right now. We've settled millions of dollars in tax issues for a fraction of the cost. Find the peace of mind knowing the IRS will not be knocking at your door. Protect your home, business, and family today. We know the tax laws, and we act fast. Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 1-800-560-3420. Remember, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. That's guaranteed. Call Certified Tax at 800-560-3420. That's 800-560-3420. Again, 800-560-3420.
Hello, listeners. It's Sarah Ritz here. You might know me as Little Miss Market on The Jack B Show. Don't forget, Capstone Financial School is currently offering a special rate for any consumer education, personal finance, or investing course to our listeners. If you are concerned about your financial future and need help, our 10-hour course will show you how to get the best rates, including credit scores, credit cards, auto loans, student loans, cell phone plans, renting versus buying, and record keeping to investing with low risk, high probability. The school offers a one-on-one consultation. Before entering a class, we will find out what your needs are and how to apply that information to your education experience. Our school admission counselors are available for questions regarding availability, and special rates are being offered. Also, don't forget about our Give a Free Class to a Vet program. For further details, visit our website at www.capstonefinancialschool.com or call 855-411-3232.
Are you working harder than ever at your job, but find yourself getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our free information, you can lead a happier life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was a traditional business owner, and our business was affected greatly by the economy, so we were looking for another income stream. It allowed me to actually walk away from a 16-year career and part owner in a traditional business just after 8 months.
Go to freedom27.com, get out of the rat race, work from home, and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I'm a single mom. Before this business, I was over $90,000 in credit card debt alone. And now we go to Disneyland, Disney World. We've been on vacations to Hawaii. I never could have done that before this business.
Go to freedom27.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom27.com. Freedom27.com. And start earning great money as soon as next week.
Jack Marugin here. Most of you recognize me from the floor of the CME. There are a lot of trading schools out there, but I found one that actually works. The Bull & Bear Institute has the best curriculum to teach you about the capital markets, whether it's the basics of investing, intermediate or advanced trading techniques using stocks, options, ETFs, futures, and Forex. BBI has it all. So call the folks at the Bull & Bear Institute at 855-Y-TRADE. Tell them Jack B sent you and get 50% off that first course. Again, that's 855-Y-TRADE, 855-949-8723.
And now back to the Jack B Show.
And welcome back, everybody, as we wrap it up here on the day before Thanksgiving. And usually, again, as I said, and I've been saying, I said it last week, and I said it Monday, I said it yesterday. These days, the days prior to Thanksgiving, you do not want to be short. You always have to be careful, only because that drift higher, and that's exactly what we saw. And with us is Jeff Carter. And Jeff, you know, you've been doing a lot of stuff after your aside from your trading. Tell people what you're doing, because you are right on the cutting edge. You're probably as entrepreneurial as it gets with what you're doing.
Well, it's interesting. Being an entrepreneur is like being a trader. You know, it's the same thing, really. And so I got into venture capital in 2007. I started Hyde Park Angels, and now I went to start WestloopVentures.com. And it's been a slog in Chicago, but now I can officially kind of come down on the side. You know, we're both cynics. You have to be as a trader. You're very skeptical of things.
Right.
But it's taken a long time to build here, but it's finally happening in Chicago, where we really have a legit startup community.
Wait, Chicago was never considered a haven for startups before.
And, you know, we just don't have that sort of way of talking about it. But if you think about our history, back in the 1830s through 1900, it was a startup. It was a startup city.
But we didn't have a governor that was taxing us at 5%.
Well,
and I mean,
startups
we don't pay
taxes. That's a good thing.
Okay. Well, that, you know what? Good point.
So they
good
need,
point.
They need different things. They need support of technical community and funding and just mentorship and things like that. Now we finally really have a critical mass here of people that are willing to do that. I mean, the inventor of Siri lives in Barrington Hills. And he mentors startups all the time.
Do you see any particular, I guess, you know, is there a certain market that seems to be forming here?
Totally.
Which is what?
Well, Chicago, if you think about it, is a great town for business-to-business services. If you even the exchanges.
Well, it always has been, if you think about it, because it's been in the center of the country.
Always. Yeah. And if you think about the exchanges, you know, the exchanges aren't necessarily a classic retail market like the New York Stock Exchange would be, but it's the place for risk management. It's the worldwide center. There's no other place to manage your risk. Mm-hmm. And it's a, you know, businesses manage their risk, right? Farmers and producers. And so what we're seeing is a lot of, I'll just call them apps, but businesses that are making processes and business-to-business ventures more efficient and creating a lot of value. So,
is there still a future there, or better yet, is this just the infancy? You know, how do you see it?
I think it's totally the infancy. So, back in 2000, if you wanted to start a firm up, you needed $1 million, $2 million, because you had to buy servers, you had to buy all this stuff. The price to start a firm today is about $50,000 because you can rent space in the cloud. You can outsource this. You can outsource that.
The level of entry has come down.
It's come way down. And if you look at Steve Burrell's a friend of mine, Burrell and Company, and he was talking about the cost to do research with DNA is dropping faster than Moore's Law in computers.
Now, this is a DNA. I remember when they first broke the human genome.
Right.
Was the thing that drove some of these stocks up to ridiculous multiples.
Ridiculous.
You know, GeneLogic was one of them, which I own, GLGC.
Yeah.
I remember I owned that stock from, $2, and it went to $150.
That's right.
And I thought to myself, this is ridiculous.
We're so if you think, you know, whatever side of the aisle you are on politically, when you think about some of the biggest problems facing us, clean water, you could say global warming, even though I don't believe there's global warming, but environmental stuff, energy, healthcare, and food, okay? We got to feed the world because the population's going up. All five are going to be solved through sort of bio stuff.
Right.
Bioengineering.
Science. That's right.
Well, where is that base? We've got a lot of it here in the Midwest, a lot of it. And if you look around,
you know, you said something to me earlier, which I found fascinating. You said, and I knew this to be the case to a certain degree, but I didn't realize it until you kind of put it into words, that the Microsofts and a lot of the Silicon Valley based companies are now looking to the Midwest and recruiting engineers.
We're starting to see capital come here from other places. Brian Johnson built a great company called Braintree, which is a payments processing company here in Chicago. They're taking PayPal on. He built it in Chicago. PayPal was invented at the University of Illinois by Max Levchin, and he built it on the coast because at the time,
that's the only place you could actually get money to rent.
I mean, we were on the board of the Merck, and I said to our clearinghouse guys, hey, we could do this. Why aren't we doing the payments processing? And they didn't see their business that way. And he built a $1 billion business out of it. And so Google and Microsoft go to the University of Illinois engineering campus. They interview and they hire everybody.
Yeah.
And they take them to the coast. But look at where else is great here. Wisconsin, Northwestern, Purdue, Illinois.
Indiana.
Indiana.
Yeah.
Michigan State. there's tremendous research being done at these universities.
It's amazing human capital right at our fingertips here.
You're right here.
About that.
And so now all of a sudden, you in Chicago, in the Midwest, you can raise a $500,000 to $1 million round to get your company started.
Hey, Jeff, I got about a minute and a half here. What are you blogging about these days?
Oh, blogging about everything. I'm starting to blog more about this entrepreneurial ecosystem that's coming here because of what we're doing at West Loop Ventures. And, you know, we've got co-working space now in Chicago where anybody can co-work if they download a desktime.com app. It's very cheap. There's stuff going on. I look at the markets very closely. It's been a very difficult trade for me this year. And like, you know,
is that because the market's been irrational? Because it really feels like it's been irrational.
You know, and it's like Alan said, you know, you get these ranges, and I always found myself buying the top of the range and selling the bottom, and I didn't have the patience of Job like I used to. So it's been a hard slog. So kind of taking a break from the markets, but very heavily in the thing. And now that the election's over, I just don't even care about politics anymore. So.
You know what? Spoken like a true Republican. Okay. Yeah. You know what? Yeah. All right. Well, that's it, folks. It's always the fastest hour of my day. And Jeff, I want to thank you not only for doing the show with us today,
but I appreciate you inviting me.
You know what? And please come back. You know what I mean? I'd love to have you on again. Yeah. You know, maybe once every month or a couple months would be great to have your voice on here. And for the rest of you out there, again, pay close attention to the way the market acts next week. It's the last week of the month. And it's also the beginning historically of what I call that Santa Claus season. So let's see if indeed, you know, we get a lot of these portfolio managers, which incidentally are still sitting on record levels of cash in some cases, are going to start chasing returns. And if that's the case, you could have a December to remember. Mm-hmm. All right. Just like we had a September to remember. How about that? All right, folks. And again, keep in mind that with Thanksgiving also comes, you know, a lot of these numbers that are coming out in Europe, in Asia. A lot of stuff going on, folks. So when you come back in to work, whether it be Friday morning or whether it be Monday, read the headlines. Know what's going on. This is Jack Baruggia, and have yourself a marvelous weekend. Have a fantastic Thanksgiving. And do yourselves all a favor. Try not to eat too much, all right? You know what? We're giving ourselves a bad name as Americans by overeating. This is the Jack B Show. I'm Jack Baruggia. We'll be talking to you on Monday.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are not necessarily those of this radio station or its sponsors and should not be construed as legal, tax, or investment advice. You should always consult the appropriate advisor before making any financial decisions. All rights reserved.